Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 16, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Be Prepared for Opportunities, with my guest, Michelle Blakely, a micro-business therapist. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have many other things you could do with your good time. Now, I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you just need to press #1 to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're over there in the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. It even happens to me. If your call is suddenly lost, you just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter, you can visit me and become a fan over on Facebook, and most important, add yourself as a friend of my show. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am, again, Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you will learn about all the programs that I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. While you're there, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, and you'll get that every week in your email box. Or you could go over and take a look at my blog, or should I say, and you should go over and take a look at my blog, and you may subscribe to it as well. Now, on this show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Michelle Blakely, the leading micro-business therapist. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I'm so delighted you were able to come on the show. I want to tell our listeners a bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Michelle Blakely is in the listening business. As a micro-business therapist, she provides an open-minded and non-judgmental ear to listen to the real issues and concerns that startup, emerging, and women entrepreneurs experience and negotiate solutions through comprehensive discussions and practical micro-business plans. She is featured in Forbes.com and the Financial Post as one of 30 women entrepreneurs to follow on Twitter. She's a contributor for the San Francisco Examiner and Fearless Woman magazine, the host of Simple Truths for Women Entrepreneurs on Blog Talk Radio, and author of the new ebook, Get It Right and Move Along, a collection of practical tips, tools, and techniques for small business owners. Welcome, Michelle Blakely.
Thanks, Ms. Flora. Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're able to come on. I think I first met you or learned about you by listening to your show. And it was so informative. I've listened to your show a couple of times, so I was eager to get you to be a guest on my show. Now, I know that talking about business and business opportunities has got to be uppermost on many people's minds in this economy. And I think all of us have a lot of experience being employees, but not many of us have the experience we need to be business owners. So why don't we begin by talking about the difference between a business owner and an employee?
Well, you bring up a very valid point and somewhat of a trend that's been taking place, I think, within the last 18 months to 2 years. Because of the economic downturn, you do have a lot of people, you know, reevaluating, their career and their life and wanting to take, I guess, more control of their destiny. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're looking into starting their own businesses. They're looking into, you know, getting their feet wet with some entrepreneur ventures, so to speak. But there's a difference between mm-hmm. being a business owner and an employee. And I think sometimes it's natural. So, you know, you're talking about natural characteristics. Mm-hmm. But other times, you know, I think you can be, I don't want to say trained, but you can develop some of those characteristics that will allow you to be a successful business owner. I think a large part of the difference between the two is, you know, you have to be motivated. You have to be your mindset needs to be around innovation and change and being able to adapt to those changes. And there's nothing wrong with being an employee. Some people are naturally inclined to be, you know, entrepreneurs and innovators. And then there's some people who are naturally inclined to be supportive and to carry out those visions and those ideas and those plans that the entrepreneurs come up with. But again, I think key to starting before you start any business is to really take an inventory of, you know, what it is, what it's going to require of you to run and operate your own business. You're talking about a time factor. You're talking about support from, you know, your friends, your family, because, you know, you can't do it by yourself.
No.
You can't. And there's a lot of demands on operating your own business. And unless you have support of your family and friends behind you, you're going to find it to be very difficult as it is. But mm-hmm. without that support and that encouragement, it's going to be a struggle for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to make sure that you share, you know, that thought process with your family to make sure that everybody's on the same page with regards to the time commitment. Because a lot of times, you know, you're working 12 to 14 hours a day. You know, you're working in the wee hours of the night. And that's time that's taking away from your family. So, you know, making sure that they understand that and that they're willing to make that sacrifice with you is going to be extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to check your resources. You want to see what it is that you have available, you know, to assist you in starting your own business. You want to take a look at your natural skill set. What is it that you're naturally good at? What are your natural gifts and talents that you can exploit in strengthening your business and giving it a good foundation? You know, you can always learn new skills after the fact, but you always want to start with centering around whatever your natural abilities are now. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're good at? And use those to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with being an employee, but owning your own business is not for everybody.
No.
And you really need to make sure you take some of those things into consideration before you take that jump.
That is so true. I thought, as you were talking about one of the main reasons that people go into business as controlling their own destiny, I've heard people say when they are employees and they're frustrated that they're going to leave their job, start their own business so they can have their own hours, they can sleep late, and so forth. And I don't think they realize that.
That doesn't happen. Yes.
Not at first, anyway. Not at first. It may happen down the line.
Yes.
I like the distinction you make between the business owner and the employee, as the employee is one who enjoys carrying out a vision or carrying out visions of other people, whereas the business owner really needs to be able to create a vision and get other people to help carry it out, is what you're saying,
absolutely.
Right?
Right.
And those are two very different things. And when you said motivation, too, I thought, yeah, it needs to be inner motivation, because many times you're going to have to do things and push yourself when you may not want to do those things, whereas
absolutely.
When you are an employee, you're pushed by your Yes. In your office.
Yes. And that's a very easy thing for people to forget when they're starting their own business. You know, they don't have somebody pushing them. So, you know, it's up to you. You know, most people start, you know, when they start a business, it's just them. So, you know, you're wearing, you know, 10 to 12 hats. It's your responsibility to manage those hats. You need to, you know, you're now responsible for account. You're the accounting department. You're the HR department. You're the marketing department. All of that, you know, falls
all the way down
on you,
to the
and you
custodian.
Need to manage it, you know? And I don't think they take that into consideration. They're thinking, you know, like you said, I get to sleep in, you know, I get to make my own money. But that's a process, and that doesn't happen overnight. And before you get to that point, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done before that.
So what I hear you saying is to go into business, you need to have a lot of initiative and a lot of energy and patience.
To say the least,
to say the least, because whatever profits you may eventually enjoy, you're going to put in a lot of time and energy before you get there.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So how do we prepare for owning our own business? Let's suppose that someone listening has heard the things that you've listed, and they feel that they have all of those things. Now, how do we prepare?
Well, I think there's a minimum about 5 or 6 things that you have to have for owning and starting your own business. One, you need to have a written plan. A lot of times, the majority of my clients, when they come to me, ask me if they have a business plan, and they say no. So it's very, very, very common for small business owners, because they're small and just starting out, they feel like they don't need a business plan, a written business plan. Or if they're not looking for, you know, funding, even if they're bootstrapping, they feel, since they're bootstrapping, they don't need a written plan. And that's a very dangerous road to travel. You have to have a written plan. And I'm not saying that it needs to be a 30 or 50-page document, but you do need to write out the who, what, where, when, how, why of your business. It needs to be in writing. You have to write that down. You need to have an advisory board. I think a lot of small business owners miss the boat by not developing and creating an advisory board. Your advisory board could be, they don't necessarily need to be in your industry. You're talking about a group of professionals that can provide you with some insight, some guidance, some sound advice, you know, all of those things that you're trying to do on your own. An advisory board can more often than not help you avoid some common mistakes among small business owners just by having that advisory board. I mean, it can save you a lot of time, a lot of hassle, a lot of headache, because they're going to share their experiences with you. So you get to learn from other people's mistakes and help minimize. You're going to make mistakes anyway, but you want to minimize the amount of mistakes you can make. And a great way for you to do that is to develop and create your own advisory board. And again, you know, you're not talking about, you know, friends and people that are going to be yes people. You want people that are going to be honest and truthful and give you the information that you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Right, okay.
You want to take inventory of your resources. A lot of times the mindset of a startup or for small business owners in general is, I need. I can't do this until I have. You know, I need this or I need that. And where I think that they're missing the boat on that is a lot of times we already have access to everything that we need. I totally believe in the 6 degrees of separation mindset. So everybody's connected to somebody in some kind of way. So if you're in need of connecting with somebody, look at who you already know that can put you in touch with that person. If you're in need of certain resources, look at who you already have access to that can help you get those resources. It's not always about getting something new. A lot of times we forget to take stock of what we already have.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's all we need is
right,
what we
right.
already have. You know, it may be 2 or 3 people away, but, you know, it's as close as an introduction. So never forget to take inventory of what you already have before you start determining what it is that you need. Because a lot of times those needs can already be met with what you already have.
Right, okay.
You want to clearly identify a target market. I can't tell you how many times I ask my clients who their ideal client is or who their target market is, and they say, everybody needs my stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs my product. Everybody needs my services. And that's not true. I mean, just because somebody needs your services doesn't necessarily mean they're going to buy it to start with. But you always want to narrow it down so that you can be clear about who's going to benefit the most from your products or your services. So be very, very clear and very specific about who your products and who your services are going to benefit the most. If it's women, what kind of women? Is it moms? Is it teacher, you know, female teachers, female executives? Be very, you know, try and narrow it down as much as you can, because that way you can speak to a specific audience and you can market to a specific audience. That way your marketing efforts aren't just random. You know, you're talking to a specific group of people who will benefit the most from your product or services. So be very clear about who your target market is, whether that be a geographical area, whether it be the, you know, the demographics in terms of their age, their ethnicity, you know, try and narrow it down and be as clear as possible.
Okay.
You also want to make sure you have a clear marketing message, and it's consistent. You don't want to, you know, just start throwing out random marketing messages or flip-flopping on your marketing messages. Be very clear about what it is that you're providing to your target market, and be consistent. Don't keep changing your message, because it's going to confuse your audience. I'm like, okay, are they selling this or are they selling that?
Uh-huh.
So be clear about what the benefits are for your product or for your services, and when you're marketing that message, be consistent. Don't keep changing, you know, who it is that you're serving or whatever it is that you're promoting or selling. Be clear, be consistent, and be concise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Those are some very important things. Boy, I want to get into those a little bit. I have a question about the advisory board. What is your idea of the right number of people to have on that advisory board? I know there's no perfect right, but what's
right.
your
and
advice?
It doesn't need you know, you're not talking about, you know, this large group of people, you know, 10,
right.
10, even 7 people. I think it, your advisory board doesn't even need to be any bigger than maybe 5 individuals.
Okay.
You can do it as little as 3.
Okay.
You want to keep it at an odd number, though, in case you, I mean, not that, you know, you're running it like a, well, you are kind of running it like a, you know, corporation, but.
Right, right.
Keep it at an odd number in case you guys, you know, do need to get a consensus on something, or, you know, there's some type of disagreement in terms of the direction. You want to, although you ultimately, you know, have the final say, by keeping it at an odd number, it prevents that impasse, so to speak, where you got half of the people wanting to do this and half the people wanting to do that.
Okay.
Try and keep it at an odd number. So I'd say 3 to 5 people. It doesn't need to be a large amount of people. 3 to 5 people, they could be professionals, they could be people in with academia. I mean, it could be anything, but you want to, again, just make sure that the people who you value their opinion, you know, they have some type of expertise in some type of area, and people, like I said, that can provide you with sound advice, but at the same time, not be afraid to tell you the truth about your business. That's what's most important. You don't want yes people on your advisory board. You need to be able to take that constructive, you know, criticism. You know,
sure,
you can't,
sure.
You know, you can't be sensitive, you know, with their honesty, you know. That's the purpose of being on that board, is to provide you with honest feedback. You need to be open to that feedback.
Mm. So that's another qualification for being a business
yes.
owner.
Yes.
You've got to have thick skin and ready to hear the truth and not take it personally, because they're trying to help you. With the advisory board, how long does this advisory board typically serve? In other words, you start your business with one. How long do you need one in the first year of your business? Or, you know, I'm sure there are groups that have advisory boards that go on and on for big companies. But what about small business people?
I would say for the duration of however long you can never you can never downplay the importance of having a sound advisory board to provide you with continued guidance and support. I would definitely not put a timeline or time frame on that. You always want to be able to have somebody that you can go to, whether it be an individual or a group of people that you can go to for sound business advice. You're in a continuous educational and growth mode. So you're always, you know, and your business should always be developing, always be growing. And the only way for you to develop and grow is to get that expertise, to get that insight, to, you know, to be innovative and to work through those changes, whether it be outside change or internal change. So having that advisory board, I think, should be a continuous thing. I don't think there should be a time frame on that.
Right. How often do advisory boards typically meet with small business companies?
That's totally up to you. I think initially you probably want to do it once a month and then maybe scale it back to maybe once a quarter, twice a year. It's totally up to you in terms of what type of support you need and how much support and guidance you need, what your background is in terms of being able to manage. Like I said, you know, you're wearing those multiple hats. How you're able to manage wearing those multiple hats, you may dictate the amount of time that you need to spend with your advisory board, but I'd say at a minimum, you'll want to meet maybe twice a year.
Okay. I also have another question related to this. Back in the in my former life, I was in the gift basket industry, and we had a networking group that met monthly. How does a networking group differ from an advisory board? In other words, our networking group was four people in the business, so we were all in the trade, and we exchanged ideas and resources and information. But how does that differ from an advisory board?
You're talking about in terms of a mentoring group versus an advisory board?
Yes, sort of a mentoring group.
I don't think there's
group
much
has the same business.
With that. Yeah, I don't see there being too much of a difference. Outside of maybe you having a variety of professionals on the advisory board, you know, your mentoring group, you guys are all in the same industry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest difference is that you guys are all sharing a common denominator in terms
right.
of you're all involved in the same industry. So I think collaboratively being able to bounce things off of each other because you share that same industry, that's probably going to be the biggest difference between your interactions with an advisory board where you have a variety of
mm-hmm.
input, a variety of resources. Somebody may be a marketing specialist. Somebody may be a legal, you know, be in the legal industry. Somebody may be in the educational industry. It could be anything because, again, with an advisory board, they may not all be – they may not have anything in common outside of just being
right.
experts in their individual field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest difference would probably be that.
Yeah, and another thing I just thought about as you were saying that with an advisory board, they've all come together to focus on you.
Right.
Whereas you're not helping them with their businesses, but they're helping
right.
you with yours. In
right.
the networking group or the mentoring type situation, you're helping each other, and each person has their own business concern. So the advisory group is much, the advisory board is much more targeted to your specific business and problems and issues.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like, yeah. I like the fact that you said take inventory of your current
mm-hmm.
resources, because I think that's another fantasy and fascination that people have with going into business. They visualize renting this beautiful office, and they visualize furnishing it and getting that brand new laptop or computer, whatever. And if you do that, you're going to deplete your whatever resources you have. You're going to deplete them before you even have customers. So I like this idea of taking inventory of what you currently have, what you can use, what you can make do with until you get the next version of whatever you need. But you're right, that stuff is around us, and we have to look at that. I've seen many new businesses get all of the bells and whistles and then have no money left and no customers.
Right.
And that's pretty pathetic. Now, I want to get back to the business plan, because I don't know that the average small business, and I mean very small business person, the single going in as a solo entrepreneur, has thought about a business plan, a structured business plan. What are some of the, I know that it's important. Why is it so important? And what are some of the key components that a business plan should have regardless of what business we're in?
A business plan, again, does not, you know, we're not talking about the traditional 30, 50-page document that you submit
right.
to a bank for financing.
Okay.
And I think that's where a lot of people are missing the boat. A written business plan basically just spells out the who, what, where, why, how of your
mm-hmm.
business. How are you going to get from where you are today to where you'd like to be in the next year to 3 years? And I don't even like for my clients to think, you know, long-term in terms of, you know, 5 to 10. I'm like, keep it closer. Keep mm-hmm. it, you know, 1 year to 3 years out because things change.
Mm-hmm.
And because this business plan is a living document, I mean, we're talking about a document that you're going to be referring to on a regular basis. This is what's going to be keeping you guided and focused and keeping your efforts, your business efforts and your operations aligned. A lot of times, you know, a big concern for my clients is information overload. I mean, they're inundated daily with, you know, new ways to do this and new ways to do that. And if you're a business owner, you got to do your business this way, you got to do your business that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you don't have that written plan that spells out your priorities and where you want to, you know, be in the next year or so, it's going to be very easy for you to get sidetracked and confused with all that information
mm-hmm.
because you won't be able to relate it to your priorities.
Right,
you won't,
right.
You know what I mean? It's going to be easy
mm-hmm.
for you to, you know, to get tripped up behind what's bright and shiny as
mm-hmm.
opposed to when you've got that written plan, you know what your priorities are. You know what your goals and objectives are. And what
mm-hmm.
you do is you keep it, you know, you're constantly looking at that document. It shouldn't be any more than, I say, 1 to 3 pages, if that.
Okay.
But by looking at it on a regular basis, those objectives and those priorities are ingrained in your mind. So when you see that information come across your computer or in the paper and or wherever it is that you're getting information from, you're quickly able to decipher how it applies to you, if it applies to you, and whether or not you need to hang on to that information. Because if it's not tied to your priorities, your written priorities and your written goals and objectives, you can easily discard it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have that plan written down, you know, your mind is a little too free to roam. And to get distracted by what, you know, by you know, all that information. You know, if you're a business owner, you got to do this. You got to try that. Get new clients here. Get new clients there. Especially
yeah, right.
with media. You know, it's just too easy to get confused. So
right,
it's got to be written. It absolutely
right.
has to be written.
So we definitely need to have the goals and objectives and the priorities. Do we need a mission statement in our business plans as small business people? A statement of our mission?
I think so. At a minimum, you need the purpose. You know, why are you doing it? And it's just that simple. It's again, it goes back to the who, what, why, where, and how.
Right.
You know, why are you in business? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What is it that you're trying to, you know, to achieve? You know, what's the purpose of you doing what it is that you're doing? So
you're
I'm
putting
yes,
that target client in there too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either a purpose, you know, either a written purpose statement or a written mission statement or even a vision statement does need to be included.
Okay. That's extremely important. I like the reasoning you give behind it because I'm on the Internet a lot and I see a lot of bright and shiny objects
yes.
that sound like something I need to pursue and find out more about. And I love the research, so I can easily get dragged very far from my goal. So I like that idea. Yeah. And I don't think people realize that, how much distracting and how much time it sucks up your time and your
mm-hmm.
energy. And by the end of the day, you may not have accomplished what you set out. Just
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. And that's exactly how that happened.
I know. I'm guilty of that many times. I want to ask you about a confidant. Now, an advisory board, a networking group, that's one thing, but is it important to have a confidant, and what is a confidant?
A confidant is somebody, you know, when you're a small business owner, you know, one of my clients, as a micro business therapist, one of the core reasons why people engage my micro business therapy is because they're feeling like they're alone in their business. Operating your business, you know, although you have friends and family who know you're in business and you've got your advisory board, there's a lot of stress that goes on behind the scenes because you're managing so much by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, being able to share that with friends and family is not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they want to hear it or not, or whether you're comfortable with sharing that information. You know, a common problem is there's a lot of guilt and shame, I think, that goes on with small business owners when their businesses are not as successful as they appear to be. Because what a business may look like on the outside may be completely different than what it's like behind the scenes in the day-to-day operation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happening is, again, there's some guilt, there's some shame, there's some, you know, they're not comfortable with sharing the ugly part of business, whether that be their fears, whether that be, you know, again, the business isn't doing as well as they, you know, have it appear to be. And I think being able to share that with a confidant is extremely important. It helps relieve some of that stress. It helps clear the mind because, you know, carrying that guilt around and that shame around is that's a burden.
Sure.
And
sure.
It hinders you from operating your business in an organized and, I think, strategic fashion. So I think having a confidant, whether it be, you know, I think what's key about that is you're not being judged.
Right, right.
But there's no judgment. There's no judgment for your business not being as successful as it appears to be or even as you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bias. There's no judgment. There's no criticism. It's just you being able to release everything, every burden that you've been carrying around about your business that you've been unable to share with with anybody else. And you know that it's not going anywhere. So it's almost like a living diary. You know what I mean?
yeah. The confidant then doesn't have to be in business or in the same business. They just need to be someone who's, what I call it, is someone who's on your side, someone who has your best interest at heart and can be non-judgmental and listen.
Right. And I think listening is a key factor because sometimes, you know, we want to release things as business owners. We want to, you know, we want to vent. But again, going back to that non-judgmental, non-critical or criticizing element is important because sometimes when we share stuff with people, it's, oh, well, that's because you're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I can't believe, you know, you're doing that, or I can't believe you decided to do that, or that's not going to work. You know, you get a lot of that when you're a business owner.
Oh, my goodness.
Who you are, but as a small business owner, you're going to hear, you know, that's not going to work, or why are you doing that, or, you know, nobody's buying that, or it's you know, you get that all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, being able to share what your ideas and thoughts are and not be criticized for it, I think is important. You know, sometimes you just need to get it out.
What that reminds me, when you said it's important to find a confidant who's a good listener, I know that one of your key features, benefits of working with you, is that you're a good listener. So at this point, could you tell us about micro business therapy, what it is, and how it helps small business owners?
Micro-business therapy actually evolved from the economic downturn, believe it or not.
Mm.
My core service was developing micro-business plans and providing business support services about 3 or 4 years, but it's probably been about 3 years now. When the economy started to take a turn and take a dive and a lot of small business owners were, you know, truly, truly struggling, they were closing doors, they were losing clients, and I'm not sure what message, I wish I knew, but I have no idea what message I was putting out at the time, but I found a lot of people calling me out of the blue to vent.
Hmm.
They were calling me just to talk. They wanted to talk about their issues. They wanted to talk about their business. And what ended up happening was, like I said, it ended up turning out in what I call couch sessions. So it ended up being just kind of like therapy, like, you know, that you would get for, you know, personal or emotional issues, except these sessions were revolving around businesses, you know, people in their small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being, you know, a little more, you know, I ended up structuring, so to speak, the sessions and formulated, and again, another turned into, you know, what we call now micro-business therapy. It's a facilitative approach. As a trusted confidant, you're talking about unconditional, you know, support for facilitated. You know, you're talking about, you know, there's an assumption that there's something wrong with your business practices that needs correcting, something that's preventing your business from growing, And I think peeling back the layers through those discussions helps with that. Mm-hmm. It allows for decompressing, which means, you're just talking about a release from pressure. And we all know as solopreneurs or small business owners, there's an extreme amount of pressure.
Right.
And micro-business therapy helps and allows for decompressing, allows for you to release that pressure. It's a way for you to get all those things and thoughts out of your mind about your business onto the table so that you can see them clearly and start filtering through those things in an organized fashion so that you can move forward, so that you're not suffering from decision paralysis, which is another common issue with my clients. They're inundated with so much information, they don't know what to do, so they're just frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't move forward, they can't move backwards, so they're just kind of spinning their wheels. You're exploring what the root causes of your business struggles and concerns and what your struggles are, so that you can begin to start solving some of those problems. And it's not really my place to make business decisions for my clients.
Sure.
My position is that I'm helping you get all of those things, again, out on the table so you can see them clearly, so then you can start to figure out what dots need to be connected and how to move forward, what you need to just go ahead and do away with, what you need to hang on to.
Tell me your contact information for people who want to reach you.
You can reach me online. I have a blog and a website. The website is simplicitymastered.com. And my blog is amichelleblakely.com. I have couches. You can actually submit your questions directly online through my blog at amichelleblakely.com if you have any questions about your business. It's kind of like Dear Abby, except it's for small business owners. It's called Couch Session. You can submit your questions directly there, and I'll respond to you and your specific concerns and issues directly to you.
Okay. And your website, again, was Simply Mastered?
SimplicityMastered.com.
Okay, say that again. Simplicity?
Mm-hmm. SimplicityMastered.com.
Okay. And so they can reach you at either of these. For someone who's interested in your services as the micro business therapist, they could. There's a contact phone number or an email there on the website?
Yes, on the website and the blog. You can reach me through either way.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. That's cool. Are there, at the beginning of our show, we said we're going to talk about how to be prepared for opportunities. And I think that what you have shared with us about the difference between a business owner and employee and how to be prepared for owning your own business makes us better prepared for these opportunities that come along. Do you want to add to that how we can use this information you shared to be prepared?
I think the biggest thing for micro business owners, for solopreneurs and for small business owners in terms of starting your own business, again, know who you are, know what you're capable of, and take inventory of that. Because, again, it's a large responsibility for starting and operating your own business. And although it looks glamorous, there's a lot of work that needs to be done before you get to the glamour.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress the importance of having a written business plan. And I'm not talking about the 30, 50-page document. I'm talking about you getting clear on the who, what, why, where, when, and how of your business between now and the next 3 years. So you're not talking about 10 years. You're not talking about 5 years. How are you going to get from where you are today to where you are within the next 18 to 36 months? Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Keep things simple. And take, take inventory of your resources. Who do you have access to that can help you in your business, that can help strengthen your business, that can help develop your business, whether that be, the confidant or the advisory board. But,
mm-hmm.
Take a look and be clear about, what you already have access to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And never stop.
I was going to say, along with that, taking inventory of your resources, there's a lot of information on the internet. Not all of it's perfectly good, but you can certainly research and find out a lot about your industry that you're about to enter and some of the other things about it to help you decide. I mean, in the end, of course, you have to decide what it is you most want, and you can't be deterred by everything that you research. But certainly there's a lot of there are a lot of free resources and some paid that you can take advantage of that will help.
Yes, absolutely. The internet is a fabulous tool. It really is.
Right.
But again, you know, you got to be clear about who you are, what your priorities are, what your goals and objectives are, because that way, when you're on that internet or when you're doing your research, like you said, you know what you need to keep and what you can discard.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know what you need to keep and what you're going to discard until you know what it is that you're doing, what it is that you seeking out to do and accomplish. Who are you seeking out to help? Who's going to benefit from what you have?
Mm-hmm.
Until you get clear about that, you will, you know, it gets tough.
All right. Yeah, I like that you talk about the target market, because I think most new business owners who haven't had experience before in business at all do think that their product, their service is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and everybody can benefit.
Yes.
And the problem with that is perhaps everybody could, but it won't help your marketing efforts to try to spread your message to everyone. So I think the target market, that ideal client, just helps you to focus your marketing effort. And just like with your show, it may be targeting women, but of course men can listen to it too and benefit.
Right.
But
right.
You have to target someone yourself in order to promote it.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Now, when it comes to marketing messages or getting your marketing message out, do you have any quick tips you can give the listeners that perhaps you share with your clients?
Don't be afraid to use social media. I know a lot of people are afraid of social media. A lot of people are turned off by social media. They think it's just for kids and teens, but it's not. Social media is an excellent, excellent way and very cost-effective way for you to develop your base, for you to connect with your ideal clients. But again, I mean, and that goes back to planning. You don't just want to jump on there and randomly use it. You need to have a plan for your social media efforts as well. You need to know what your purpose is for using it, how you're going to use it, you know, have time frames, all of that. But the key to that is being sure that you incorporate it into your marketing efforts. With my micro business plans, I have a social media micro plan that, you know, that helps small business owners get real focused on how to use social media that will put them in close proximity or provide them direct access to their target market or their ideal client, because that's really what the purpose of social media is. You want to make sure that you're connecting and getting in front of your ideal client. People
right.
who, you know, your service or product is going to benefit the most.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways of doing that, but you got to be clear about doing that. You don't, like I said, you just kind of get on there and, you know, and just start typing anything. You know, use it with a purpose. Be clear about why you're using it and how you're using it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. As one of your clients, then, we can find out how best to use it, because I think one of the disadvantages of the internet is there is so much information. And if you get someone who has already worked out a basic plan that you can start from, like you just said, you have the plan for using social media, it saves so much time, and eventually you'll begin to create and shape your own way. But it certainly helps in the beginning to have that guidance. So it sounds like something we could get.
I wasn't even on Twitter for, I think, 8 months when I got picked up in that article by Forbes for 30 women to follow on Twitter. I was new to Twitter. And again, what I did was I developed a plan, and I worked that plan, obviously, consistently, and it worked. I mean, I've gotten clients from Twitter, and though I never get, I get clients from my social media efforts. I get clients from Facebook. I get clients from Twitter. So it does work. I'm telling you, it does work. But it's just a matter of how you're using it, why you're using it, and when you're using it.
Back to that plan.
Absolutely.
Wow, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're at the end of today's show, and I want to urge all the listeners who have been enlightened, encouraged, empowered, informed by today's episode to be sure to share this information with your family and colleagues who are considering business or in business. And remember, the recording of the episode is going to be here in a few minutes, at blogtalkradio.com/floorround, and you'll be able to return and listen to it again or download it. You may also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so that in the future you can receive the episodes as they are recorded. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, August 23rd, 2010, at 11 a.m. for another inspiring and exciting show. Let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to learn about my book, my speaking engagements, coaching, and other activities. Again, thank you so much, Michelle Blakely, for coming on the show, and I look forward to visiting your show again and learning more of the wonderful things you share there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I really appreciate it. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. I'm your host, Flora Brown, from Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a blessed week, and remember...
Color your life happy.